One Off Play podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation at the NBA.
And Scotty Pippen's been in the news as of late as well.
That's why I thought about it.
I knew the song. I was trying to think of the link, but yeah. Then Scotty Pippen came out of nowhere. Scotty Pippen's, is he losing it?
I genuinely do. Like I don't see that as a joke at all. I think that's quite concerning. Like, you just can't have, such a sour relationship now with, a man that I think really sort of brought you to the promised land six times. Like, and not to say that Scotty wouldn't have done, better, worse, indifferent somewhere else, but wow, he's been holding on to this for a while because, in The Last Dance, I don't know. Everything seems sort of rosy, but wow, he's definitely got some very, very different views on what happened and the myth that is Michael Jordan. Very, very strange.
And I thought at the start of it to sell his book, and then you could sort of say, okay, well, I'm not forgiving him for it, but you could say, okay, if he's selling his book and you
selling
get
his book,
pop-
well, is he got a wine or a
cheap headlines or something like that, but it was, to me,
he's got an alcohol sponsor too, doesn't he?
I think so, but if he really should be going in after anybody, if he's going to do in the book, it's just the easy target that everyone would agree would have been Jerry, the one that gave him that bogus contract for 10 years.
That's right, Jerry. Yeah, exactly. But the thing, he didn't have to accept that contract.
Wow,
he did it on himself.
I agree. That was the whole thing. We haven't really talked about it.
That's a two-way street.
We'll get into round two in a second. So, firstly, he didn't have an agent, so that's on him for starters. And then, secondly, you're right. He didn't have to accept it, but maybe Jerry's seen something that he's seen 20, 30 years ago that's all happening now, that maybe this is just the way Scotty is. And maybe, he wanted to negotiate like this, and he's maybe just a bit erratic, and that's too bad, so sad for him. So
yeah, it's very.
You're right.
Yeah,
he didn't have to re-sign.
He's got
his
own
legal
bourbon.
Okay. Well, that's all right. I'll half forgive him because it's bourbon.
Apparently, you can get it in Australia.
Well, that's a nice sponsor for us. Before we move, go straight into round two.
A little bit of digits. Bourbon, Kentucky whiskey.
So we'll get into the conference semifinals or round two, depending on however you like to say it. But the first was the Eastern Conference, and it was the Celtics going up going against the 76ers, and the Celtics winning in seven games, 4-3.
Funny thing about the conference semis, which was sort of brought up on, I can't remember what I was listening to on ESPN radio, it was basically playoff bingo. So every single seed, every numbered seed was represented in these conference semis, 1 through 8.
Good point, actually.
Yeah, that was. But who points those things out? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just one of those
two,
things
three,
that people
five,
just been looking
eight,
at it, going,
one,
"Hey,
four,
hang on a
six,
minute."
Seven. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'd be someone.
Well, that's him. Somebody who's making more money than what we are anyway. So, look, Philly, Boston. I think, very, very intriguing matchup. Only difference by 3 games in the regular season. Both were well within reach of the number 2 seed towards the end of the season. We now know that the league MVP is Joel Embiid, before we get into it, I think the voters got everything backwards. You know, we did NBA pods last year. I think, and I'm pretty sure that you think that Embiid should have been the MVP last year. It was Jokic. This year, it was the other way around. I think Jokic probably should have been the MVP and not Embiid. So I think that there's a little bit. Yeah, I reckon they've got things backwards this year.
And it kind of felt like this was a yeah, we probably got that one wrong. And he played technically better this year. Embiid technically played better this year than last year, if you go by the numbers, technically. So I think it might have been that, but I agree. I think Jokic, I mean, I've said this, I even said this from the start of all this series. I think Jokic is the best player, and I think Denver's going to win it all. I just, you know, for a lot of reasons, but he's probably the main reason. Because
Just don't ask Mark Jackson whether or not Jokic is an MVP candidate, as apparently he didn't even have him as a top five in the league. So
Don't ask what was going on there. Don't ask Mark Jackson. Don't ask certain people that ESPN analysis that might speak to Stephen A. Perk, I'm talking about.
Well,
who decided it was a whole racing. But anyway, look, Joel.
Oh, give me a break.
Right. Anyway, Joel, like you said, great last season. Played technically, statistically better this season. Probably deserved it one of those years and got it this year. The thing with him.
And look, to even start this series off, Embiid got hurt in that game three against Brooklyn. So there was an injury cloud hanging over him coming into this series. And game one was lit up like a Christmas tree by James Harden with 45 points. That's where I thought we should kind of start with this series, because in Embiid's absence, James Harden, wow, that was especially in game one, vintage performance.
You're right. But the thing with Harden, right, you're right. So great game one, no Joel. And even right at the end of the game, he just said, you know, right, you can see, boys, this is one. Let's not celebrate. Let's get back to training and let's, you know, start taking over this series for the next game. The thing with, and unfortunately it's been every year he's been in series matches, is Harden can have this game and then he gets someone like Joel back, and then he has, you know, he can have extremely poor games, which he did during the season, except for that first game. Yeah. So
he has been accused of going missing in the playoffs. So
and he does. So yeah. So you're right. We could start on that first game, and he was unbelievable. He doesn't have the consistency there. The thing with Joel, this is it's got nothing to do with MVP, but if you were starting a squad right now to win a title, who is the first player you'd think of? To put it in perspective.
For right now, it's Jokic.
Jokic, or I would even have Jokic or even Giannis, right?
Or Giannis.
Just to put it in perspective, I'm not saying just because he was great at MVP, but why are we not picking Joel? And this is why I think they lost this series. Why are you not picking Joel?
I think for me, it's his playmaking ability. Look, like you have sacrifices when it comes to players, right? So Jokic is obviously, a great playmaker. You know, he's always a good rebounder, but an unbelievable scorer, but defensively, obviously not the best. So when you do the comparisons, same sort of thing with Giannis. Giannis is a better playmaker, but better defensively. Probably not so much of a good rebounder and a fairly poor shooter. Embiid, look, good shooter. Got soft touch in the paint. Has got good footwork. Not so much of a playmaker, you know, kind of once the ball goes into the paint, that's kind of it. Like, he doesn't really sort of, you know, he's not a high assist big man. And but he's tremendous defensively. But so, again, and it also comes down to, again, availability.
Okay, so that wasn't just that, but that was one of the main points. It's his availability, and I kind
look,
of
he came back. He came back in game two, and look, everybody on that Philly squad laid an egg.
But I kind of think with him is that he's not a guy that's going to win you a championship, because I think firstly, he spends too much time on the floor. I know that sounds dumb, but he does. He spends so much time attracting fouls and just, you know, falling on the floor a lot, unfortunately. He just doesn't come across like a guy that by himself can win you a title. And that's why I sort of said who you'd sort of pick first. Whereas you could, I mean, they did have, look, I guess if you think about Milwaukee, Giannis did have Drew and Chris Middleton around. They are stars in their own right. So, and they did win a title. So it just, to me, if you're gonna, clearly he's not going to go anywhere, correct? Joel's not going absolutely anywhere. I know they could throw his name around and that he might go somewhere, but, and I've actually dead set heard. Dead set, and yeah, they would have to try the bucket load, but I've dead set heard the Knicks. That is the superstar that I was talking about in round one.
I have heard that.
But that
stunned me.
I don't think they would have enough, and then I still don't think 76ers would do it anyway. So
no, but it's assets, and it would be Julius Randle. Maybe like we hypothesized earlier. Instead of Barrett, I think it would be Randle.
Well, okay, look at what Gobert got. And this is Mitchell Robinson,
they want a center back.
They want like three or four firsts.
It'd be multiple firsts as well as at least Julius Randle, if not more.
Yeah. So he's not going anywhere. Very highly doubt that James Harden's there next year because he's a free agent. So I don't think...
No, he said he's already going to come out and test the free agent waters, so he's not picking up that option of 35 or 38.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so he won't be there next year. I think they obviously got Maxey. We both like Maxey.
I love Tyrese Maxey.
I actually think, depending on what, like, I don't know where Tobias is. That contract seems like it's been going on for 20 years, Tobias Harris. But I think
there's one person that always lets you know about A, being chosen over by Tobias Harris and the contract of Tobias Harris, and that's Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, of course, because that's pretty much what happened with it. I think they go in for Damian Lillard.
See, and that's the thing too. Like, you know, he's been very cryptic lately on social media as well. He's sort of been piping up in a lot of, you know, in a lot of aspects of these playoffs. Look, yeah, this series goes seven games. You know, as we sort of go through the games and everything. But at the end of this series, Doc Rivers gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, rough. I think so anyway. Has had 10, Doc Rivers had 10 straight winning seasons. You know, his three seasons at Philadelphia, 154-86. Not bad. But has been by Phillies and their management's standard, very disappointing. Yeah, they haven't made no conference finals, no NBA finals. Pretty sure no conference finals. Like they've been bounced out of the first or second round since Doc Rivers has been there. And the Embiid quote afterwards was, James and I can't win by ourselves. And that's where I come in with the Damian Lillard Twitter comment was, huh? That was it.
Yeah.
So he's been rather active about a few things on social media. I thought about that. In regards to this series, and I think the heavy criticism that's going to come out of this series is, and you hear it on lots of channels out there, Joel Embiid, you're the MVP. Show me. Show me.
That's right. And he
take over this series.
And he did it.
It's almost like, you know, that narrative of, I couldn't care less that you've just come back from an injury again. Mm-hmm. You're on the floor, training staff believe you're healthy. You're there and playing, so you're healthy. You're the MVP. Show me.
His biggest problem is he doesn't really. He's good at interior defensively, and obviously you said he can shoot. His biggest problem to me is he has real difficulty in defending in space, and that was the biggest thing in a lot of these games is, and they exposed.
Oh, that's fair, and that's fair enough.
That's no, but what I'm saying is that was the biggest thing that especially Jason Tatum exposed. Once they got a few screens were set by Tobias Harris, he was blown by him the whole time. So
he's had like one of the biggest points drop offs by an MVP in NBA history.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was 31, 32 per game in the regular season. These playoffs died right off to 23.7. These playoffs, not just this series, like that. Yet James Harden averaged more points than him in this series.
Mm-hmm.
And that's once again, it's, you're the MVP. Show me. He shot 43% from the field as a big man. That for what he does to be able to create the shots that he can, shooting anything under 50% is unacceptable.
He did it. Look, what were they, Robert Williams or Grant Williams? And that's why I think the space thing helped. It's none of the defense came to him in the interior. They spaced out a lot, really, really good, and then burned him. But you're right. He should have, it was Al Horford. He should have been dominating in that paint enough, and he didn't at all. No screens were really separate. Right. He just didn't dominate in the paint. And look, at the end of the day, especially into that game seven was probably one of the worst game sevens I've seen them play in a very, very long time.
Oh, brutal. Look, their backs were broken in game six by, I think, the simple fact that Jason Tatum had an absolutely woeful, woeful first 3.5 quarters. So, yeah, 0 for 10 in the first half. It just being brutal all game. All of a sudden, final four minutes of the game, he has 4 or 5 threes, has 16 points in the fourth quarter, and fuels a Boston comeback in Philadelphia to force that game seven. You know, and the thing was. And I think this could be, well, this must have been one of the many things that would have cost Doc Rivers his job. Towards the end of that game, like I said before, you're the MVP, show me. Command the ball, take the ball. Why was everything running through James Harden in clutch time in that last 5 minutes? Why?
Because what other option did they have? That's why.
Dump the ball down low. Let Embiid do the work. Why is it James Harden, drive to the basket, miss layup. James Harden, turnover. James Harden, step back three. James Harden trying to dribble penetration and then kick out. Embiid's not even touching the ball. It's not that he's not going out there trying to command the ball or anything. He's not even getting his hands on the ball. It's insane. It just defied logic.
Because it didn't happen towards the start of it, and they kept running with a narrative of it worked for James Harden in game one. We'll keep doing it. And that's Joel's fault for not putting himself in that position. You're right, I agree with you, but he didn't put himself in that position. And he didn't. He just didn't. He really didn't.
Command the ball. Hand in the air, in the post, hand in the air.
Yeah.
Yell. Go into a timeout and go, get me the effing ball. I will carry us past this team. I will carry us to the promised land. I am the reigning defending MVP of this league.
Are you trying reigning defending? I wonder why you do that.
I could have put in undisputed, but he didn't win it by unanimous decision. So, yeah,
I reckon this would have been one of the closest ones. But anyway,
yeah, I didn't really put any emphasis on it either. It could have been the reigning defending.
But he didn't. He didn't command the ball, and they got to where they got to because he didn't play. For me, for an MVP, he didn't have Tatum played better than him in this series. Tatum was very MVP worthy in this series. He was never going to win
games,
it.
Except for game six, he was brutal. He ended up being before he went on that hot run in the fourth quarter, he was like 1-for-14. It was killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That game seven, Philly, they weren't even in the contest. Look, I think it was only a couple of points in at halftime, and then Philadelphia have the most god awful third quarter, probably of their season, and then Jason Tatum has 51 points.
Yeah, well, Jason Tatum's got that game in him, so.
Yeah, just absolutely erupted. And you're like, all right, that's the guy. That's a guy with supreme confidence that they see. And there it is right there. Jason Tatum having an awful game, yet whether it was a coaching decision or whether it's his decision that I am going to continue to command the ball, and I'm going to continue to shoot. I'm going to continue to play my game. And hot streak at the end, 16 points in the fourth quarter, gets him a win. Where was Joel Embiid?
Well, this is probably, you only said it one side, but the other side of coaching is that's where I thought Doc Rivers should have stood up and sort of said, okay, get the ball to friggin' Joel so he can command the ball.
Exactly.
I mentioned that.
Doc, he needs to see that. He's an experienced coach. He's a championship-winning coach.
He was, but he can't seem to win these game sevens. It's just he cannot win these game
sevens. Oh, he's brutal. He's lost like 10 game sevens now.
Well, now he's no longer at this team, so there's that.
That's right. He'll get another job.
Of course he'll get another job. I don't know. We mentioned we're not going to go into the players again. We mentioned players. I'm trying to work out which coach A would want to go there, and then B can turn them around. Because Philly's, we all know for like the Eagles and that. Philly fans are pretty unforgiving. They just are.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. I don't know if they promote or they go after a Bud or a Bud, a Nurse, a Vogel or something. I don't know. There's plenty of coaches flying around. I just don't know which way
they... Yeah, there's plenty of retreads. There's plenty of retreads out there, but it'll just be whatever they think. Look, I still think that's an attractive job. You've got the reigning defending MVP of the league. It's an attractive job. They won 54 games this year.
I think their first thing, I mean, they're pretty simple off-season. They've got to work out, well, by the looks of it, they're not going to keep Harden, so they're going to work out They've got that money there. What are we? Yes, Maxi is going to be Maxi, but what do we do with it? Exactly.
No, that's right.
The next series was interesting, to say the least. So this is the Eastern Conference. The Knicks going in still favorites, which I found interesting. The way Miami beat beat the Bucks. I kind of thought Miami were going in this series, and I put money on Miami because I thought it's a bit like just because the Knicks, you know, were fifth and they, you know, they did get through their series. Not convincingly, they got through the series. Miami kind of dominated the Bucks, but they were like outside favorites. But then the Heat and obviously end up winning this series 4-2. Look, I guess wasn't the greatest scoring affair for both of these teams comparing it to their last series, especially for Jimmy. But Jimmy did still do playoff Jimmy and take over where he needed to.
No, he didn't have the nuclear series like he did against the Bucks. I guess doing enough, and this was I guess sort of the cast, I guess, doing the job for the Heat when it comes to this series anyway. The two wins that the Knicks got were that they made those wins look so extremely difficult. I've never seen that before. Like, you know, the Heat were in every single one of these games. Obviously, they won the series 4-2, but the Heat would not go away. Like, even if it looked like the Knicks were starting to get a little bit ahead and get a little bit, you know, feeling themselves a little bit, especially when Madison Square Garden is rocking and rolling, the Heat just, they wouldn't go away. That game two, the Knicks tried everything to try and throw that game away. Like, Brunson had a 23-point second half in that game too. The fourth quarter defense by the Heat was smothering on the Knicks to give them a chance to sort of get back into that game. I thought part of it too, there was a bit of a sort of screw up towards the end of that game by the referees, a bit of a massive miss. I don't know if you'd sort of seen it or seen the replay or heard about it. So there was, I can't remember who the jumper was by. It might have been a Caleb Martin three. It was very, very short, but clearly grazes the rim. Shot clock doesn't restart. Referees miss it. Kyle Lowry picks it up, puts it back in, but it's a shot clock violation.
Yeah.
So this is with about, just trying to think when it was. Might have been about with maybe 2 minutes to go, there or thereabouts. Whether or not it's reviewable or unreviewable, whether the refs can do it, whether that's got to be done by Spoelstra, but it was a clear miss. Basically a 5-point swing back down the other way. A shot clock violation because Kyle Lowry, he got the offensive rebound. Puts the ball back in. They miss it. Okay, no worries. They take the 2 points off the board. It didn't go on the board. And then the Knicks go down the other end. Jalen Brunson hits a three. Boom, it's a 5-point swing. And that really puts the death knell in Miami towards the end of that. But if that's then it's a two-point game coming down the stretch.
Yeah.
And that could have been Miami going into New York and winning two games straight up off the bat, be 2-0 up before they go back to South Florida. Like that I think that was a really key miss. It didn't really have a bearing on this series because the Heat ultimately won. But I think that was a very big miss. That was a very clear miss. You can't say three referees missed, but that's a definite miss.
Oh, and the biggest thing that stood out for me, at least in this series, was the paint dominance from Miami over the Knicks. They
big time.
They had, I think it was 10. Yeah, so there's Knicks had 20 points in the paint. That was 10 fewer than scored in any other game this season. But they just, I mean, we'll talk about Randall in a second, but They just weren't dominant enough.
The thing is, the Heat as this series went on, the Heat didn't sweat.
No, they didn't, but
they didn't sweat him.
I don't know because that little bit, like that game five that Brunson played all 48 minutes of.
Yeah,
when they won that game five, just showed you that I think it was in the fourth game or maybe it was the fifth game, but yeah. So when he was off, and I mean slightly off, the Heat outscored the Knicks. It was towards the end. The Heat outscored the Knicks 7-0. It wasn't that game five. That just shows you that obviously one, clearly it's Jalen Brunson's team, but two, that if the offense is going completely through him, that they've got problems like one Julius Randle, who even said, I can't remember which game when he said after the game, I think it was the game four, that he said maybe they wanted it more.
Oh, they just wanted it more.
Who says that?
That's what you want to hear from. That's right. That's what you want to hear from your superstar.
From
your all NBA player, which we need to get into the all NBA teams because there's monetary implications for a lot of people that did or didn't make the all NBA team. So we'll get into that. That a bit later. But
it just shows you.
You talk about points in the paint with Miami as well. A lot of that had to do as well with the ability to get offensive rebounds. They murdered the Knicks all series on the offensive boards.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they certainly did. I think it was
crazy.
But that's kind of what you wanted a player like them, I guess. But then the flip side, that's what you wanted a player in Julius. And look, I'm not the biggest fan of Mitchell Robinson, but I do like parts of his game. So I do think he has things in his game. But Julius Randle is getting paid and proved that, maybe he just wanted to prove it in the contract season, but proved he can be an All-NBA player or top 15 player in the NBA because that's technically supposed to be.
He did this year.
So, that's right. That's what I'm saying. So he's proved that he's a top 15 player. So, but he didn't play like that in this series and was one of the many reasons that probably the main reason why they lost this series. And then that's me. I think it was game four. Him coming out and saying, yeah, no, I think they wanted it more. If I was a coach, I would have burnt him at the start of the game.
That's it. And you can't. That's the thing. Point. You can't. But and the other thing was, too, like his body language, especially, like you said, game four, five, and six was awful. Mm-hmm. Awful body language. Mm-hmm. And there has been major criticisms about him towards the end of the season about attitude.
That was two years ago, remember? The same thing was said about him. He's a different cat.
Different cat. Look, and he's got the ability to sort of, you know, play that good bully ball style of game. And when he's on, he's on. But One of the sort of criticisms that I thought was a little, well, not criticisms, but opinions that I heard about, you know, him and his style of game, that he takes these, and he does, he takes these ridiculously difficult shots just to try and get, especially Madison Square Garden, just to get the building rocking. Loves it. And that's what most people do love, especially in their home building. But it when those shots don't fall, then you look like a bit of a goose. So
yeah,
and he was only shooting like 28% from three, which is a much better three-point shooter than that, you know, 41% from the field. And to say only 18 or, you know, only 19 points per game, they just needed more out of him. They needed more out of him in this series. Jalen Brunson averaged 31 points in this series, and they needed every single one of those points.
Yeah. So have you thought about what they do in the offseason? Different, look, hey? I don't know because would you say they overachieved this year or underachieved?
No, I definitely think that they've gone past expectations. Obviously, a gigantic part of that, you know, like we said in the last, you know, from their last series, Jalen Brunson is a huge part of that. That's who they're going to be now building around, him and RJ Barrett. I think Julius Randle is absolutely expendable. You've got, look, I still think they've
Is he? I agree, but is he?
Julius Randle?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I just don't know what they get back for him.
I don't know either, but I think there needs to be some exploration happening. Look, I do like their role players that they have there. They've got guys like, you know, give maximum effort. Emmanuel Quickley, Josh Hart. Maximum effort guys.
I like Emmanuel Quickley, but he's a guy that could have
He could have absolutely done more, but he was hurt for the first three games of this season.
He was, I suppose he was, because he was he was in that six man of the year conversation. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Probably could have. So they do. I just, yeah, the Julius Randle thing, it's not so much I don't agree with you. I just don't know where he goes.
No, there'll be
and what teams. And what they get back from him.
Nah, that's the thing. It's the return. So
yeah.
Look, I thought, yeah, they really took the Heat really took Mitchell Robinson out of this series. I would have thought he would have been a little bit more dominant rebound wise, and rim protection wise. But you know, Bam sort of that's yeah. But Bam, I think he's reached his ceiling. I don't think he can be too much more than what he is. There was a lot of talk that, you know, he could be an absolute genuine superstar and an MVP caliber type player. I don't think he's lived up to that, and I don't think he'll ever live up to that. But they need to.
It's too hot and cold, hey.
No, well, and that's the thing too. Like he's got a nice mid-range jumper, and he's super athletic, and you know, he's a good rebounder, but it's almost like one of those sort of, you know, big men of today where you don't really need to draw up plays for him, but he can still initiate the offense from the post because he's a good playmaker.
Yeah.
He is a good passer and a willing passer, you know, either out of the post. The only thing really that's lacking from his offensive game is a three-pointer. But, look, he's got the tools there. It's unlocking his potential, but I'm not sure that the last couple of seasons he's just plateaued, and this is the player that he is at the moment. And he's a real key for Miami going forward. Obviously, Jimmy Butler is as well, but for their success, I think you need a more more engaged in the game. Bam Adebayo, and obviously Jimmy Butler's gonna get what you need to do. Just I want to give a shout out, especially in this series, but I do want to give a shout out to Duncan Robinson. Unlike Julius Randle, was out of the rotation for a lot of the season. Got paid.
You like him too, don't you?
I do. I like Duncan Robinson.
Yeah.
It's he's that Uber role player. You know, he had that really good series in the B word that I hate in Orlando. In that run where the Heat made the NBA Finals against the Lakers.
You hate in Orlando, the B word.
The B word.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The B word. Yeah.
Yeah, click.
He felt he fell out of the rotation. Yeah. He could have dropped his head, he could have pouted, could have had a sook. You know what I mean? But didn't.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the season, started getting back into the rotation. Look, he couldn't buy a bucket this year. His shooting percentage was awful this year. Mm-hmm. And in this series, he started to get better. Look, yeah. and look, he only shot, he still shot under 30% for this series, but he's starting to get more involved in the offense. And it's not so much next man up. It's like when your number is called, be ready.
Yeah.
His number's being called in the playoffs and he's doing a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally commend him for that. I think he's been a really, when he's been involved and when he's playing minutes, because his minutes are really sporadic. It'll either be 25 minutes or 5 minutes. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just the way that Spo is playing him at the moment. It's either heavy-ish minutes or pretty much nothing. Yeah. So he knows when to sort of inject him into the game and know what he wants to do with him as a game plan. But again, this series, I think, yeah, was not so much dominated, but it all went down to role players. Kyle Lowry coming off the bench. You got double digits by Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, Max Strus.
Oh,
average
yeah.
in the series.
Talk about players that good two-way players that have sort of come out of nowhere but have always sort of hollered. Caleb Martin. I like Caleb Martin. You know, that was Hornets, I think he was before. Really good pickup for them. Pretty sure he was with the Hornets before that. But I do like Caleb Martin actually.
Very underrated.
Just good, but just smart. But that's just them. Smart, good two-way players. Right. They can complement a Jimmy and a Bam. And if Jimmy's having an off night, you've got shooters. It's probably the Bam thing. I kind of agree. It's probably the Bam thing that needs to be fixed in that squad.
Yeah, I think so.
So, but they move on. So the next game was... that was the East. I think we just finished on the East, didn't we? Yeah, we did. My bad. So the next game is the Western Conference. So it was highly touted, at least in this, the Denver and Phoenix Suns. But the Denver, again, sort of flexing their first seed muscles and running away with it 4-2.
I think everybody... I didn't think anybody had too many illusions that Phoenix would win this series. I would have thought that it ends in six, and you know it ends with a bit of a whimper towards the end of that series. Look, going into game five, series tied at 2-2.
Yeah.
This come down to I think we know what Kevin Durant is and does, but he didn't, by his lofty standards, right? And if you just look at it purely statistically, if you just want to look at numbers, so 29.5 points per game, nearly 10 rebounds, 5 assists. But this guy is a 50-40-90 guy, right? Only 45% from the field and 22% from three. If they were going to do anything in this series, everything has to be done by that starting five.
Yeah.
Now, the absence of Chris Paul, absolutely key. Irreplaceable. He's irreplaceable. So that means the heavy lifting has got to be done by 2 to 3 players. That's Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and you also need chip-ins by DeAndre Ayton.
So I agree that Chris Paul's irreplaceable because there's no one else like Chris Paul. But I just – it's hard because I don't – I just don't know with Chris Paul – with what you're spending in Chris Paul, what else you can get with those two players and Kevin Durant, Devin Booker going forward, you could get to do. Because, I mean, look, if Chris Paul was healthy through this series, this would have been a lot closer. I still think Denver would have won, but this would have been a lot closer then.
Well, you would have assumed that, maybe they could have stolen one on the road in the first two games. Could have they have forced a game seven? Just his... his playmaking ability, and he doesn't need to be the old Chris Paul. He just has to be consistent, solid. Make those, what he's been known for. Make those floaters in the paint. That a good post up guard like Drew Holiday, a good guard in the post. Make those mid range jumpers. Make your open threes. Make everybody better by being a ball distributor. 6, 7, 8 assists per game, and the offense flows a lot better, but when it becomes ISO ball, dead ball, with a lot of dribbling, KD, Devin Booker, when it comes to that sort of stuff, It's not for me. It's not nice to watch. Okay, yeah, they're scoring 107 points per game. I'm talking about Phoenix. It's just not nice to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
Execution-wise, look, that they can make games. Like, you know, Booker had a 47 point game in game three when he was 20 or 25.
How good is his game gotten?
It's crazy.
How good is his game gotten? I mean, I've always liked Booker, and I thought Kevin Durant may steal some points. But in the end, it's basically because they don't have anybody else. It's just those two getting points.
Right.
But I thought he may sort of take a step back, but man, he's so good. He's so good. I've always liked Devin Booker, but I didn't realize how good of a player was until I guess someone like Kevin Durant was there.
That just makes those two probably the best 1-2 punch in the league.
Yeah, but to me, I know how great Kevin Durant is. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's better than Booker, but this is definitely, and he's even said it, this is Booker's team. And he plays,
of course.
Booker plays better than he does on this team.
He's the alpha there, and Durant is unfortunately, you know, 1A, but you know that and if Durant can sort of, you know, keep that, put the ego in the pocket for a little bit, trying to get that third ring, then you know you see all the crap that he sort of went through and took when he was at Brooklyn. Some of it was his own doing, some of it wasn't. So now he's out. Now he's out in the desert. Probably not as much, you know, there'll still be a lot of media coverage, but national media coverage, because he's in Phoenix, I think that changes it a little bit, and he might be able to be a little bit more freer rather than having the scrutiny of New York media being on you 24/7.
I think going forward for them, I think they kind of need to work out what they're going to do with Chris Paul. It's the only move that I think they have. Because he's... He's probably owed shitloads of money. I'm sure
his back end of contract is complete and utter insanity, which I'm sure that you're looking up right now. So we're just trying to filibuster. But the thing is, the other thing is too, there's rumors out there about DeAndre Ayton. At the start of this season, there was conjecture whether or not DeAndre Ayton wanted to stick around, whether him and Monty Williams, you know, were seeing eye to eye. Again, have a look at what's happened. Monty Williams has been sacked. Like, all these good jobs are out there at the moment.
Yeah.
50-plus win teams with genuine superstars are out there to be had by other coaches. You know, again, this is the for me, you know, and being a New Orleans fan, this is the second time that's been some bullshit that Monty Williams has been sacked. Because he took the Hornets to the playoffs. They got swept by the eventual champions in the Golden State Warriors, and he gets sacked. And you're like, well, what did he do to deserve that? He went through all the shite with, I think it was his wife died in a car crash. He didn't coach for a long time. You know, he went through some shit. Gets this job at Phoenix, takes the Phoenix Suns to their first NBA Finals in 20-plus years. Coach of the Year last year. You know, 4 years here with this 194 and 115 coaching record there. No, we get bounced because we don't have any bench depth. See you later. See you later, Monty. That's rough, man.
He
was coach of the year last year.
Coach of the year. Yeah. He'll get another job.
Again, he will get another job. But man, how much shit can you put a human being through?
So it's funny, Chris, they make, when you hear this, they may end up keeping Chris Paul because it's not as bad as you think. So the next 2 years, he's $30 million each year. But they're both partial guarantees. So he's owed 30, but if they can him, he's only guaranteed 15.8 of that. So even if they release him, if they can't get a trade thing and they release him, it's not a bad cap hit, so to speak.
No.
So it's not as bad as I thought, but I think, you know,
his contract must have been front end. His contract must have been front-ended front rather than back ended.
It was. It was front ended.
That's how it should be.
It was 4 years, 120, and 75 was fully guaranteed straight up, and then the rest of it's been being partial from there. So it's not a bad way to do it.
That's the way the teams need to do it.
So it's pretty good. Yeah, no, I do like that actually. So it's not too
front,
bad.
Front end the contract. Because when it comes to what, especially at his age, and then you look at guys like James Harden and Russell Westbrook and guys like that who've got these huge back end of contracts, who the hell's going to want to take that on? Who's going to want to take that cap hit if they're not playing? If they're not playing well, do you know what I mean?
We'll move on from this one, but I feel like because they've got a new owner who's a bit erratic himself, as you can see through this series when he decided to hold the ball again. Mr. Matt Ishbia. He's a Michigan State dude, actually. So he's a bit Michigan State. You know, Jalen. Is it Jalen Rose? He's a Michigan boy too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a Michigan. Yeah, but he went to Michigan. He didn't go to Michigan State.
It is Michigan. That's who Ishbia was. He did play for Michigan because he played under Tom Izzo. It was Michigan.
Michigan State. Tom Izzo.
Oh, it is State. Oh, my bad. So he was already a bit fiery, but holding that ball, that was the dumbest thing in the world. But
that was crazy. He was lucky he didn't get beat up by the Jokic brothers outside the arena after that.
Yeah, that's right. So I think they still may do something crazy, but
Phoenix needs depth and depth badly because that is a glaring hole in that roster.
The thing with them is what they did for Kevin Durant, and I hope the owners thought of this, is they've got an extremely small window now.
Oh, yeah.
They've extremely small
window, but also a very small margin, margin for error as well. You know, when it comes to the season, because injuries happen and all it takes is that little bit of extra depth to go down, or heaven forbid, one of those superstars to go down, and you are in big trouble.
Yeah.
They need to work out. They need to get a lot more production out of their, you know, sort of 6, 7, 8 guys in the rotation, even, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 in the rotation. It needs to be more production and a lot more consistent. So
Denver move on, and they will be facing in the finals.
Got to commend our boy Jock Landale, though, for taking it to Jokic. Yeah. Like, I thought, even though Jokic, you know, again, dominated this series, averaged a triple-double, I thought Landale, he bodied him. He wasn't shy.
Yeah,
and that's what you got to do. You know, he's an undersized big man.
Ayton got less minutes because of it, because he was playing really well, Landale. So you are right. Yeah, we should have gave him a shout out. So they will end up playing the LA Lakers in the final, because the LA Lakers did beat the Golden State Warriors in 6 games, 4-2 win.
Before I let you, you know, go to town on the Lakers and how terrific they are and unbelievable, they're going on to win a championship, blah, 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 you sitting there in your Lakers jersey. This to me, and this is
oh, I do
it's
that.
it's a subtle jab, but a not so subtle jab. It's a series of old generation bandwagoners versus new generation bandwagoners. New generation bandwagoners in the Warriors and old school generation bandwagoners in the LA Lakers. Proceed.
Well, I did support I'm a bandwagon from Magic Johnson era, so that is a bandwagon if you want to go with that bandwagon. But
still a bandwagon.
He's still a bandwagon. I don't really care. Magic's just the man. Who cares? What I was going to say, this was the AD series. This is where Anthony Davis showed who Anthony Davis is when he was on the Pelicans, and how dominant. No. I'm just saying how dominant. Yeah, I know. I'm not being smart. As not, you know, I still think you won that trade. Trust me. Trust me. I still think you won that trade, regardless. You still won that trade with the amount we had to give up.
Well, but, no, we kind of didn't because you've actually been successful, and then our pick swaps are kind of crap now because you've actually done really well, and now our picks are actually better than yours. So, you know,
anyway, I still think you've got some left. But anyway.
We still got about 24,000 picks left, so you know, and there's also picks. also pick swaps coming too, so I think it's not all lost, but I think
in a couple of years you and the Thunder pretty much own the first round, every pick in the first round, you and the Thunder.
It'll be close.
But it was the AD series. He had the dominance, and no one was defending him properly because he could. Who's you praised in the series before for the Warriors? He was pretty good. Yes, there's no way he was defending. No one was defending Anthony Davis. Not even Draymond. No one was defending Anthony Davis on that squad. And you can see he ended up getting, 21 points, but probably more importantly, his rebounds. I mean, I've watched. Yes, I haven't watched every Lakers game, but I've watched a lot of Lakers games. But for some reason in this series, the way he puts his body in place to get those rebounds is just something I've never seen before. For someone that I was always scared if he'd fall on the floor, would he get a rebound? But the way he puts his body in places, it's amazing.
I still would be scared of him falling on the floor.
Well, I still am. Of course. What do you think? I haven't got a number 3 on this jersey. I'm still scared to, get one. He was unbelievable in this series. Our depth again, I mentioned in the first round, of depth coming to play when he needed to. Everybody went in. Like obviously, I'm talking about not so much Vanderbilt. He's kind of been quiet these first couple of rounds. Hachimura was pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. He hasn't really not so much lived up, but yeah, he hasn't really been involved a whole lot. D'Lo's sort of been in and out, who has been extremely well involved and is going to get either, paid or
getting paid
handsomely.
Austin Reeves. We can only pay him 4 years, $50 million. So he's either going to take the cut, but he probably won't. He'll probably go somewhere else. Because I think he'll get paid more. But that's all we can pay him. 4 years, $50 million, pretty sure.
He'll be getting more.
Well, you would assume so.
Yeah. He'll be getting more than that, and I seriously doubt that he will be in the purple and gold whenever his contract comes up.
And the other one that's restricted, but we can match it. We can match as a restricted, so we'll be way over the cap. Here, the other one that's restricted was that we better keep is Rui as well. They're the two. That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm scared of both of them.
He started to work his way into. Obviously, he had that 29 point game against. In the first round, I'm just trying to think who that was against.
Austin Reeves is probably the third best player. Memphis. After this series, Austin Reeves is probably the third best player on the squad after this series.
Yeah, I think right? I think he superseded D'Angelo Russell.
I think pretty quickly.
More trustworthy, I think.
I mean, the telling game of this, it wasn't so much just one player, but obviously he had this insane fourth quarter. But that game four was when we sealed it. That 104-101 win, and
the Lonnie Walker fourth quarter.
Yes,
the Lonnie Walker fourth quarter. And all I'll say, if you're Golden State, you absolutely cannot let that happen.
No, and Steph said it. I think it was in the post conference. I think he gave him a jersey after the series. He goes, I'll never forgive you for that game four. So yeah, he knew that was the game that lost them the series because he just exploded. I watched every minute of that game. He exploded in that fourth quarter. And it wasn't – they sort of looked a few shots like anybody with – because he didn't have much minutes. It's like anybody with someone like that. You sort of stay up him a little bit because you don't know how they're going to play. And you defend, but you're not defending like you would like a LeBron or an AD. But then – once he started getting hot, even when he had defenders on him like Steph and Poole, he was burning them. And just the touch, yeah.
Mid-range, like hitting threes, hitting off the dribble mid-range shots. And it's like, where the F has this come from?
Yeah. Well, he's literally played no minutes, hardly any minutes during this.
Yeah.
So it was awesome.
Look, and this series could have been unbelievably different, you know, in the two closest games of the series. Game one, the Warriors down three. Was it three or two? I can't remember if they were down three or two. Final 10 seconds, Jordan Poole takes that 33-footer. Yeah, and it just an awful, awful ill-advised shot towards the end of that game, even though Jordan Poole had already hit six threes in that game. Like, that is just the ultimate heat check, but he misses the shot. They play the free throw game. Game over. Game four, like you said, it all come down to the crunch minutes at the end. Curry does the same. He takes like a 29-foot three-point shot, misses. At the next possession, I'm pretty sure the Lakers score after that. The next possession, Draymond Green, turnover. Lakers go down the other end, score. Game killer. Like on two possessions, on a close game like that, two possessions in the final minute, bang, over. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's such an unbelievable small margin for error, especially in the playoffs, especially in a series like this. If those two, you know, even if one of those moments goes the other way, it's a different series. But, you know, Golden State going into their own building in game five, I think you could almost guarantee that they're going to win that. And then it was just that the Lakers in that game six just came out from the get-go, uber aggressive, and they just snuffed out any chance of going back. So I was just about to say Oakland then, but going back to San Francisco, yeah, for a game seven. And that was, yeah, that was, that's, and that ended it. Two things I'll talk about Golden State wise, as they move forward.
Yeah. That's what I'll talk about.
Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Very much not quite himself, except for game two where he had eight threes. Uh-huh. You know, just a miserly eight threes. Not quite himself. I don't think, not the man he used to be. You know, Father Time is eventually catching up. Look, he shot better percentage from three, you know, than what he did for the field.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, who was great in this series, who coming in they thought could be expendable, was Draymond Green. Draymond Green was awesome in this series.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, he was. Well, behind Steph Curry, he was the most important player from the get-go.
Which is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, no, very.
That's what you're getting to. Because keep going. I'm just trying to work out.
Like, I think he's probably a little more expendable than what the other two are. I'm going to not so much point my finger, but be a little bit critical of my boy from Michigan, Jordan Poole. Brutal in this 100%. Series. Brutal 100%. In this series. Again, aside from game one, where he had six triples. You know, 34.5% from the field, 25% from three, and 8 points a game. They paid him all this money. You can't disappear in a series like that, or like, you know, of this magnitude, where, you know, they expect you to perform, and it just didn't happen.
And it didn't happen.
Here's another one. He had six threes in game one. You know how many threes he hit in the next five games? One.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
That can't happen.
So, looking forward for them. So, are you saying Klay needs to be moved, or just won't happen?
That won't happen.
Because
the person who's expendable at the moment is Jordan Poole. But I still think that there's a possibility that Draymond Green could be a casualty.
So okay, so Clay's getting paid 43 next year, so it's probably not going to happen in terms of
he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. Steph's obviously not going anywhere. Andrew Wiggins is probably not going anywhere.
Probably not, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they explored trades for him as well.
So Draymond next year is, interestingly, you've got a player option, and it's only worth $27.5 million. So it's possible he, if he accepts it, obviously, then he's just cares about the team and that's it. If he doesn't, he declines it. He's going to get paid more somewhere else, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, he'll get paid more.
So if that's the case, then you could keep Poole and get someone else in lieu of what in lieu of Draymond in that money. I think it's right. I think I think Jordan Poole would be, you know, and his contract next year, that's the start of, it's the first year of the start of what's that, $130 million,
yeah,
4-year contract.
That's mean, hasn't he, yeah, that deal hasn't even kicked in yet.
And he's only 23, but you know where he would be good if they trade? And just to give the other way to get something back in terms of assets? Spurs. Reset for him. 23-year-old young guy going, obviously, with, we'll talk about this later, but, you know, the number one pick. And they've got a decent front court, actually. Oh, they will eventually, obviously. And just having someone like Jordan Poole there, because they've got money to burn. They've got like 150, I think.
So there's a couple of teams out there with huge amounts of cap space, and they're one of them.
Absorb that contract, and then the Warriors could get some sort of highest draft pick from the Spurs. Obviously not number one pick, but another draft pick, and that could be good for Poole, I think.
That's a possibility. I think he'd fit well in a lot of places. I think
he's expendable. I kind of agree with you. It's not great to say, but I kind of think he's expendable.
Look, he had a really good regular season,
which is crap, because of that punch that he had nothing to do with, as far as we know, and nothing to do with, and that punch that Draymond hit him in that at the start of the season.
It goes back to that, doesn't it? Well,
it kind of does. I think so.
I think so. Absolutely, it does.
Still find it unfathomable that kind of stuff gets out. Someone has leaked that for something specific reason. Surely.
Yeah, but you can see where the video was being taken. It was up on the bleachers somewhere.
Yeah, but I don't know. But yeah, we're both on the same wavelength. They're the kind of two teams that need to do something going. Two players that need to do something going forward.
Just looking at him statistically, I think the only thing really he probably should improve on is his 3-point percentage, because it's only 33%. I think that's where it has probably been a little bit disappointing for a volume shooter like he is. That could definitely improve.
He could be technically at the moment he's probably an overplay, but I think he can get back there. I think.
That's a contract on potential and an upward trajectory. So, to me, I think it's warranted. Like, you know, his minutes per game and everything has plateaued. You know, he could be a number two or number three option somewhere else. He can fill it up. Like once that you're, you know, one of those streaky shooters. So, you know, he can fill it up, but he can also not fill it up, if you know what I mean. So that's just part and parcel of it. So, yeah, but I think that's definitely one of the calls I think that Golden State have got to make. I would still like to see him keep that three-man core of Draymond, Steph and Clay. You know, we know what they can do. Obviously, Father Time is catching up on everybody. And that window, that championship window is closing rapidly on that franchise, and they are paying a boatload of luxury tax.
And I don't think they really care either.
No, I don't think they care either anyway. Like they are paying an absolute woof. They are paying a fortune in in luxury tax, and we'll be paying that for quite some time, I would think. So, but they got themselves a nice new arena across the bay in San Francisco. I'm sure the ticket prices there are at a large premium, so they'll be making plenty of money.
So we'll finish then on the all NBA squads.
Pretty yeah, sure these this are, is going to take are, a little bit. Yeah, these were rather, I don't know, I thought they were rather interesting picks. Like, I don't think, you know, you can and ah about, you know, who should have been first, second or third team or anything like that. But it's the contract implications that come into play because they either did or didn't make an All-NBA team. So if we go through the All-NBA teams, the All-NBA first team was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka Doncic, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Pretty SGA deserved it. Phenomenal season.
I don't think you can argue with any of those. The second
team.
Well,
you could technically not argue. It's not the player because I know how good he is, but could you argue Luka? Of how the season sort of played out. Could you argue that?
The season played out, but him as a player, no.
No, not him as a player. But this is where, going to the second team, this is where this whole new positionless thing will come into play. But we'll
keep going. Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of that. That's kind of dumb. But anyway.
Yeah.
So the second team was, you know, Steph Curry, Donovan Mitchell, Jimmy Butler, Nikola Jokic, and Jaylen Brown. I don't think there's any real arguments there. I think it's where, yeah, the conjecture comes in with the third team. I think where, you know, people sort of did or didn't miss out, and you know that I think we talked about him in the last pod. So the third team was Damian Lillard, De'Aaron Fox, which I like that sort of backcourt. LeBron, Julius Randle.
Just quietly. Imagine having Fox and Lillard. Anyway, continue.
So LeBron, Julius Randle, and Domantas Sabonis. So yeah. Very much warranted, very strange pick in Julius Randle, I believe.
So who else would you have in there in the forward then? Did you have someone?
No, see, and that's the thing. Like the people thing. That have been talking, the people that have been the mouths on this are saying, how did Jalen Brunson not make it? And it's just like, well, all the guard positions are already taken up.
Well, see, and this is the whole, this is why I like the position list, but this is where I don't like it. I like seeing.
There has to be positions for, look, they've already rubbed out the center, you know, and they have three forwards and two guards. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, but that's the problem. To me, Nikola should be in that first team, and he's definitely not a forward, and neither is Joel Embiid. So you're saying that those two should never be in the same first NBA team, purely because of their size.
Back in the day, it wouldn't be because there was only one center spot, and you have to put, if you're gonna name Joel Embiid the MVP of the league. Does he not have to be All-NBA first team?
I totally agree. If this was positionless, I would have taken Luka out after that season and put Nikola Jokic in. Personally, I would have put Luka at second team. But on the what you said with Julius, if it was positionless, I mean, he definitely wouldn't be there, and Jalen should be there. But then, did Jalen have a better season than Lillard? He didn't have a better season than Fox. We know that. But did he have a better season than Lillard?
Yeah, well, that's where it all comes down to. I wouldn't have. I probably would have sort of swapped those two around. I think Dame probably should have been in that second team.
Too many games.
Third team.
Really? Then who would you take out?
No, you just swap Brown. You just swap Brown and Lillard.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But the contract implications you're talking about, I'm assuming. Well, the big one's obviously Jaylen Brown. Who now that he's all
well,
NBA
yeah,
player.
Well, it's Brown and Tatum.
Well, Tatum's already sort of signed that contract, but it's Brown that's coming up to his contract next year.
Yeah, Brown now I think is eligible for 295. Ouch.
But you're going to have to if it was them. I think
that's right. So if you pay Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum over the next 5 years for the max or the super max, the Boston Celtics could be on the hook for $613 million.
Yeah. So two players come going forward, two players will be worth $100 million each year. That's $100 million a cap. So that's a lot of chowder, yo. A lot of chowder.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. So look, yeah. And look, you know, possible omissions and, you know, sort of financial implications as it comes down to it. Obviously Ja Morant misses out. Which takes his supermax value from 233 down to 194. That's quite large. That's quite a large hit. You know, other guys that also
Do you think that should prove something to him of what's happening this year? That should go, well, yeah, right. I've lost this amount of money because of what I've done this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's absolutely come into it. Look at the other ones that were sort of all NBA dependent. Only just a couple that I'd sort of read up on were Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, and Jamal Murray. You know, they all missed out.
I think Jamal missed out on their
supermax eligibility.
If Jamal was healthy enough during the year and played enough games, I think he could have stuck on to this.
Well, have you seen now that they're basically putting a blanket amount of games that you have to be or that you have to make before you can be eligible for awards? Not so much the all NBA team, but for awards. And I am here all for it.
Good. Me too.
I think I did have it written down.
I think it's 50. It was 55 or 65.
No, I thought it was 65.
Then it must be 65. Yeah.
I thought it was 65 games.
Distinct numbers. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So one of those distinct numbers. So, yeah. Well, why not?
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Especially when, you know, especially with the money that comes into it, why not?
No, yeah, exactly. I've got
no problem with it.
No, absolutely not. You make it best availability. Yeah, best ability is availability, and that'll always ring true.
So we'll finish up then. So obviously, then the two finals are the Nuggets and the Lakers on the west, and Miami and Boston on the right.
Nuggets in seven, Boston in seven.
Well, I'm not going to say games, but I think Nuggets. I said Nuggets from the start. Even though Lakers are in, I still think we've overachieved.
What do you do? And I've heard the best analysis that I've heard for Nikola Jokic, and it sounds uber disrespectful, but it's kind of not, and it's kind of funny, but. You know, I've heard people call him a loaf of bread with arms and legs. But what do you do with that loaf of bread with arms and legs if you're the Lakers?
I don't know.
Right, what do you do?
I don't know.
You've got to throw Anthony Davis at him.
Yeah, but even then, I've seen him the way he shoots. I've seen him. Do you like that style? I mean, it works for him, but that style that's like...
Hey, man, I never really used to like the, you know, the cliche or the catchphrase of whatever works for you, and if it goes in, then it's a good, you know, it's a good shot, but I buy into it more and more.
If it works, it works, I suppose.
Yeah, it works. It's impossible to block.
I just think he's got so much to his game, and I don't think we can stop him. And if we do stop him, he can outlet or inlet a pass so easily.
That's right.
So I think he
does get everybody else involved. A very important person in that series, especially for Denver, is Michael Porter Jr.
Correct. And I think Celtics as well, but that'll probably be going in Game Seven. But yeah,
I would think both of these series go Game Seven. So, that should be two highly competitive series. We've seen what the Heat can sort of put up. You know, the Heat and the Celtics have played in like three of the last four playoff series, and I don't know if it's been there's definitely the last 2 years in the conference finals. So, they definitely know each other. So it'll be whether or not playoff Jimmy can come through again. This will be a very tough series for them. So, again, no Tyler Hero for the Heat. So this has to be on the back of Bam, Jimmy Butler, and those role players continuing to shoot the lights out.
Yeah.
The formula for Boston is make threes, win games.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
like a lot of the league, but they shoot a lot of threes.
Yeah, they do.
So that's going to be the formula there. Make threes, win games, easy.
Well, that will do it. Part one and part two in the books, or round one and round two. So, shaking your head like Buddy there. Yeah. Well, we'll finish up then. As always, you go through it. Yeah. Go through all the, well, not the sponsors. We don't have sponsors. What am I talking about? go through all the socials.
Yeah. Digits Bourbon Whiskey by Scotty Pippen. So,
come on, Scotty. Dig deep. Dig
deep, Scotty. You can check us out on social media. We are on Facebook, so you can just search the Final Play Podcast. So check us out on there. Give us a follow. We put up all sorts of stuff on there to try and keep everybody up to date with what's going on around various leagues, whether it's the NRL, the NBA, the NFL. We try and keep sort of the big news up there for everybody. So check us out on there. We're on Twitter at the Final Play Pod. So you can check us out, give us a follow on there. We are also part of the Gimco family. So check out those guys, gimko.com.au, for all of your trading card needs and businesses. Check those guys out. They've got an array of breaks that you can get into: AFL, NRL, NFL, NBA, Major Leagues, WWE. They do the lot. So check those guys out. They're always big supporters of us, so we'll always support them. Those guys are also on Facebook, and that is Eureka Sports Card. So you can like and follow those guys on Facebook. And you can check out all of our pods on SoundCloud and Spotify. So check those out. We also put up the pods on the Facebook page as well and on Twitter. So you can also click on the link to get our podcasts from there. You can also get the pods on the Gimco website. Just check out the podcast tab. I think it's in forum. So click on that, and our podcasts are available to download on the Gimco website. So that's gimko.com.au. So always shout out to those guys. Love them.
All right. Well, my name is Jason. Even though I said Denver, go Lakers to win this West, even though I said Denver.
Yeah, see, you're unbelievable. Like, you know, you can't even, you should just be like, oh, Lakers in a sweep. So, you know, you just, I'm Miles. Never wish for the Lakers success, Plum. So, you know, we'll just,
Yeah, how'd the Pelicans go?
They went shit house. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Man,
that's right.
Such a promising, I know we'll have to do one. We'll have to do a off-season one, but goddamn, such a promising start of the season for them. I'm not being smartass here. I'm genuinely.
Oh, no. You just can't lose 12 or 14 games in the middle of a season and expect to do anything and then crap the bed at the end of the season. That's exactly what happened. So, you know, I'm under no illusions on how poorly the back end of the season went. And that's, you know, all it's injury dependent. That's it is what it is. It's about getting Zion's body right.
Yeah.
I think, and he might not have the ability to be able to get down to not a slender size, but you know, something. So I'm thinking something around, you know, maybe the 240 pounds.
I don't think
he'd still be explosive and still be a little bit of a bully.
I think if 250, 260, he is probably what he realistically could go down to and still be explosive enough. 280.
Yeah, I still think it's too much. It's too much on his lower body.
280 is way too much.
It's too much on his lower body.
Yeah.
And Brandon Ingram missed time this year. Everything had to get carried by CJ McCollum. It was just a debacle of a season. So, you know, like I said, I'm under no illusions. They snuck into it, you know, to a playing game. They didn't really deserve to be there. They finished off the season quite well to actually be within arm's length of maybe scoring.
And this is why I like Brandon Ingram. He's an interesting player that could be
another mid-range assassin.
Could be on the trade market, but then could be like
I don't think so.
That's what I mean. It's a weird. He could be untouchable, but he could be on the trade market.
He is. Trust me, he's untouchable. And I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on anything until they can see what a trio of Brandon Ingram, Zion, and CJ McCollum can be.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
because CJ is only, what, 30, 31? So he's not over the hill by any means. I know a lot of people sort of shit on Valanciunas. I love him.
Oh, I like Valanciunas.
Love him. Not the best defender in the world, but you know what? Guess what the league is at the moment?
Shooting.
A not great defending league. So.
Oh, I like Valanciunas. No, I do like him.
So I don't think they're going to do anything in pulling the trigger in regards to this team. You know, maybe improve some bench depth. They want to see this experiment because when at the start of the season, they're pretty damn good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus they're on the hook with Zion as well. So, you know, they paid him his rookie extension. So they're on the hook for a load of money. So that's they need to just get the big boy's body right. And we'll see what happens. So I was quite excited at the start of the year, and that was crushed midway through. So, you know, always good not to have expectations.
True. All right. Have a good week, everyone.
All right. See you.